Thank you, Sherry. If you'll turn in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 1. Feels like we've been here a while, hasn't it? It's good, right? Yeah, it's good. It's been good. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have. I hope that in all of this, as we have talked about being blessed in Christ, that you have sensed that you are blessed in Christ. In the many ways that we have looked at already, in that we were appointed, we are adopted, we are accepted. Last week we looked at being acquired. This week we're looking at being acquainted. And this word acquainted is such a fun word when we think about it. One of the many pleasures and joys of being in ministry that I have had is been in asked to be a part and be involved in weddings. I've had the opportunity to officiate several, even as I have been here at Second Baptist Church. And when I say it's a joy and it's a pleasure, and it's really an honor whenever anyone asks a person to be a part of a wedding. That's a significant event in somebody's life. Well, I love to hear about how the man and the woman, how they became acquainted. I like to hear their story. I like to hear about how God brought them together. I like to hear about the little things that they're beginning to understand about one another. And not only that, but even after the marriage ceremony, those of us in here who have been married for several years, you know that you get to know each other even better after that marriage ceremony. That the marriage ceremony is not the culmination of it, but it is only the beginning of what is to come and what God has in store for that couple as they get to know one another better. And sometimes getting to know one another better means that you find out some things that you weren't aware of that you're like, oh my goodness, right? And one of the beauties of a marriage relationship is that give and take that goes on, because you those compromises that occur as you get to know one another, and as you get to know one another, you get to that deeper sense of love for one another, because you are getting acquainted with one another. And one of the things that I see in the Word of God is this incredible love story that is happening between God and mankind. God wants us to get acquainted with Him. And if that wasn't so, He wouldn't have sent His Son, Jesus, to come and be one of us and to show us what life was all about, then go to the cross and die for our sins, and then to raise Him from the dead, back alive again, so that we can even experience Him now in this day and time. That is an incredible love story, is it not? And it's an incredible way for an almighty God, a creator God, to allow His creation to become acquainted with Him. And that's what I want to look at this morning. I want to look at these verses, especially 8 through 10. I want to read through, again, all this passage, 3 through 14, because it is, as we've talked about, it is one long sentence in Greek, and so there's a flow of thought there, and I just think it's good to read it, because it just increases our fascination about this wonderful God who knows us and wants to bless us. So let's read through this. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Paul says, "Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. For He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted through Jesus Christ for Himself, according to His favor and will, to the praise of His glorious grace that He favored us with in the Beloved. We have redemption in him through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he planned in him, in Jesus, for the administration of the days of fulfillment, to bring everything together in the Messiah, both things in heaven and things on earth in him. We also have received an inheritance in him, predestined according to the purpose of the one who works everything out in agreement with the decision of his will, so that we who had already put our hope in the Messiah might bring praise to his glory. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in him, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance for the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. Now remember, this morning we're focusing in on verses 8 through 10 there in your Bible and talking about this fifth way that I see this passage in being blessed in Jesus Christ, being acquainted. And this word acquainted, I looked it up and it says to make someone aware of or familiar with. We see there in that passage two words that Paul uses that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. This Greek word, sophia, it literally means wisdom or knowledge, and it conveys the idea of seeing and knowing the truth. So when we talk about being acquainted with God, with things, God blesses us with wisdom, being able to see and to know the truth. And I want to tell you this morning that people, if you look around the world today, that's what people are searching for. They're searching for the truth. Otherwise, we wouldn't have as many religions in the world today as we do. They're searching for the truth. And truly, if we believe what the Bible says, then truth cannot be found apart from God. Truth, I mean, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth, right? And so one of the things that we see here in this passage is that God lavishes on us all wisdom, being able to see and be able to know the truth, but not only to be able to see and know the truth, but this other Greek word here, phronesis, I think I pronounce that right, understanding or prudence. So this word, It's not only that God wants us to see and know the truth, but he wants us to see how to use and how to do the truth, how to apply the truth to our lives. So it's not just enough to know the truth. It's about, God wants us to know how that truth even affects our lives, our everyday life, our everyday decisions. So this is a God who, you know, one of the things that when I was in seminary, and not only in seminary, but even when I was at Arkansas Tech University and I took a class called Philosophy of Religion, we got to the point where we talked about these individuals, these philosophers who tried to prove the existence of God. And one of the things that they came up with was this idea that God was the first cause. If you take everything back in creation, you know, this thing had this cause, this thing had this cause, and so forth. And all the way back to the first, there is a first cause, and this first cause is God. But it really doesn't explain really what the Bible, I mean, the Bible does reference God as the first cause, but it's so much more than that, because God didn't just cause things to happen and then set back and like he set up a bunch of dominoes. Have you ever seen that? That fascinates me to no end, when someone takes the time to set up this massive maze of dominoes and then they click the first one and then you see what they've created when it falls over. Have anybody ever seen that? All right, you're on the same page with me this morning. God isn't like that. He didn't set up a bunch of dominoes and then flick it with his finger and then sit back and let's see what's going to happen. God not only caused things to happen, but he got involved in his creation. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, it says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And then it talked about how the earth was formless and void, right? There was chaos. But then the wonderful truth of God. And this is where I see, even at the beginning of time, that God wanted his creation to know him. It says that the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And in Hebrew, that word hover, it gives the idea that it's a mother hen brooding over her nest. Right? And so it's got this idea that God got involved in his creation. He didn't leave it just to chaos. He began to order the chaos of creation, this formless and void. He got involved. He was intricately involved in every part of creation. And then even more so when he created mankind. You look at all the other creation and it says that he spoke things into existence. But when it came to mankind, do you remember what he did? It said that he took some of the earth, and then he formed mankind. It gives, you know, I know God is not like a human being and he has hands like I do, but in my mind, that's the picture that comes, that God scooped up some of the earth and he began to formulate Adam. He got involved in his creation because he wanted his creation to know him. And then it didn't end there, did it? Because even after he created Adam and he created Eve, he didn't just say, okay, let's see what you can do. I've given you this directive to be fruitful and to multiply and subdue the earth. I give you dominion over all the earth. He didn't just leave it there. It says that he would even come down and walk with them in the garden. Now, if that's not a God who wants us to know him, I don't know what that is. He wants us to know him. He came and he walked with Adam and Eve, but because of our sin, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, it severed that relationship. It broke that fellowship. But even after that, well, the wonderful truth is that God didn't leave us to that chaos of our lives, right? It says that he came down and he asked a simple question, didn't he? Was the question, Adam, what have you done? Was it that? Anybody remember the question this morning? Where are you? Where are you? And it wasn't a question of position, like in time and space, but in position in relationship with him. Where are you? Because something has changed. Something has changed. And God knew what had changed. But God wanted Adam to speak with him. Because he wants us to know him. And he also wants us to know that even if there's sin in our lives, that he can take care of it. And that's exactly what he did for Adam and Eve in the garden, didn't he? They had formed for themselves clothing, and it was inadequate. And God, he sacrificed an animal, and he made them clothes. If that's not a God who wants us to know him, I don't know what that is this morning. He wants us to be acquainted with him. And he gives us, it says here, it says that he gives us wisdom and he gives us understanding or prudence. I have on the screen a couple of things that when we talk about wisdom and we talk about understanding, right thinking leads to right actions. And see, that's our God. He wants to come in, he wants to give us the truth, and he wants us to know what to do with it. And not only that, another way to look at it is understanding or prudence is the effective use of wisdom. So this is our God this morning. And I want to focus in now on three aspects of our acquaintance. And I want to talk about the measure, and I want to talk about the motive, and I want to talk about the means. I've already kind of talked about these already, but so let's just walk through these. The measure of our acquaintance. And in Greek, there's a word, it's parasuo. It means to make to abound, to provide a person richly so that he has an abundance. In this passage of Scripture, in this verse, it says here that he lavished on us all wisdom and understanding. He lavished on us. This parasuo, to make to abound. Have you ever noticed in God's Word that he rarely does anything in another way other than abundance? Have you ever noticed that? He abundantly does things. He overflows in his blessings. When Jesus came and in John 10, chapter 10, he said that, you know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? But I have come for what reason? that we might have life and that might have it more abundantly. God does things in abundance. And when it comes to this being acquainted with God, he does it abundantly. You look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, and we've looked at this in the past. It says that God has given us everything for life and godliness, right? He wants us to know the truth, and he wants us to know how to use the truth, and he does it in a way that we have no excuse, right? That's what it says. We have everything available to us to be able to know what it is that is true and know how to use that truth in our lives in a way that's going to glorify him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I mean, this is the Creator God that we sing about. More about Jesus would I know, right? More about Jesus. I was just thinking this morning, maybe I shouldn't think so much. I don't know. Sometimes that is true. I shouldn't think as much as I do. But when Lisa was here talking about this God that knows the hairs on our head, and he wants us to know him as intimately as he knows us. That's incredible. And just the fact that I get to walk around on this earth that he has created. And in the midst of that I could even walk with him. We've sing that song every once in a while. I come to the garden alone, right? And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known, right? That's the God that we serve this morning. This is how we're blessed in him, that he says, I want you to become acquainted with me. I want you to become familiar not only with who I am, but I want you to become familiar with how I work in this world. I can't help but love a God like that. Does that make sense this morning? I can't help but love a God like that. It's not that God, he says, okay, if you do this, this, and this, I'll give you a little bit more of me. All Scripture says is that if we seek God with all that we are, we'll find him. We'll find him. All we have to do is seek. All we have to do is be willing to seek him, and he's going to give us all wisdom. He's going to lavish that on us. And he's going to give us all understanding. He's going to lavish that on us so that we can do all that he has called us to do. That's the measure of our acquaintance. What's the motive of our acquaintance? You see there in verses 9 and 10, he says that he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he planned in him for the administration of the days to bring everything together in the Messiah, both things in heaven and things on earth. To make known, in Greek it's the norizo, which means to make known or to communicate things that were before unknown. Warren Wiersbe says this in his commentary on Ephesians. He says, it's a sacred secret once hidden but now revealed to God's people. 1 John 5. Excuse me. And verse 13, it says, I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. This mystery of God's will is that Christ came, that Christ was and is the Son of God. He's the God-man. He came and lived a perfect life, and then he went to the cross because he was the only acceptable sacrifice for sin so that we might be, as we talked about last week, be acquired by his blood so that there could be forgiveness of sins, so there could be remission of sins. This is the mystery that has been revealed, and this is the mystery that now has changed our lives in such a way that we are different people. God has made this known, and he wants us to know this so that we might know that we have eternal life with him. There's no question, there's no question in my mind on that day when I stand before him, and if he was to ask me the question, Jonathan, why should I let you in my heaven? My confident answer is because I place my faith in Jesus Christ, because you made known to me through him that he was the only way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And I tried my best to live according to that truth. I have no doubt in my mind. It's not going to be, have I done enough good? If I stand before him and I say, well, I think I've done enough good to outweigh the bad that I've done. I think that I've been a good enough person. I did go to church a lot. I went on mission trips. I read my Bible. I gave. I did all these things that good people do. I don't have to say any of that, do I? Really, very simply this morning, all I have to say is, Jesus, I believed in him. I believed in him. And I spent the rest of my life trying to get to know him as well as he knows me. That's the beauty of it this morning, isn't it? All right, this other word, it's a fun word in Greek. It's anakephalaio. It means, it's a really fun word. It means to sum up or to gather together in one or harmonized. Everything. It says there at the end of verse 10 that to bring everything together in the Messiah. Both things in heaven and things on earth. God, he not only made known to us the mystery of his will, but he also wants to make known that all that matters really in life is Jesus. It's Jesus. I know we've been coming back to this on many occasions as we've looked at this passage of Scripture, but it's stamped in this passage, in him, in Christ. You hear it every morning that we read through this passage of Scripture. In him, in Jesus. Everything is summed up in him. And that brings us to our next point that we look at when we've looked at the measure and the motive. The means is Jesus. Everything's summed up in him. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's not about anybody else in this room or who is walking on the face of this earth today. It's about Jesus. This is the means in which we are to become acquainted with the Almighty God. Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says this. But when the completion of time came, did you notice that in this passage of Scripture it says that according to his good pleasure they planned in him for the administration of the days of fulfillment. But when the completion of the time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 15 through 20 says this, he is the image of the invisible God, Jesus is, the firstborn over all creation, because by him everything was created in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. That's a good place to pause, isn't it? For just a moment and ask the question, does Christ have first place in everything in your life? We'll come back to that. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Do you hear in that verse how everything's summed up in Jesus Christ, whether in things in heaven or things in earth? The means of our acquaintance this morning is Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. I'm going to read this a little bit further. He is the radiance of his glory, the exact expression of his nature, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he became higher in rank than the angels, just as the name he inherited is superior to theirs. The means is Jesus. In the past, before this time, before Jesus came on the scene, God spoke through the prophets. God spoke through the priests. God spoke through the judges. He had individuals come to his people on his behalf to speak to them. But now it says it's Jesus. There is no other revelation. You know, the Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, that God's invisible attributes have been available for us to know in his creation. In theology, we call that general revelation, that we can look out. And I'm telling you that when I am outside the city and I get beyond the pollution of light and I look up at the stars in the sky on a beautiful I can't help but see God. When I look at a sunset or a sunrise, I'm amazed at the artistry of our Creator God and how he uses the full realm of the colors at his disposal. And I can't help but think there is a God. When I look at a little baby, right, that has been born, and I see the life, even in my own children, when I held them, and I understood just a little bit of what all it took for this life to be formed. And I think about the Word of God and how he says in Psalm 139 that he knitted us together in our mother's womb. I can't help but think there is a God. There's general revelation, but there has been a very specific revelation of God in Jesus Christ. There is no other revelation for us. It's in him. He is the means for our acquaintance with the Heavenly Father. What do you remember what Jesus said to the disciples after it was said, "Well, show us the Father." And Jesus says, "If you have seen me, you've seen the Father." Right? The means is Jesus this morning. 1 John, I know I read verse 13 earlier, but I want to go back one verse and read verse 12. It says, "The one who has the Son has life. The one who doesn't have the Son of God does not have life." That's very specific, right? It doesn't say there's another way for knowledge and understanding of the truth. Correct? The one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son does not have life. There's no middle ground there. God's very specific. The means is Jesus for us to know what life is truly about and how to live this life. It's Jesus. Look to him, and you will know, and you will understand. So this morning, as we come to a close, and as we've looked at our acquaintance in Christ, there may be someone in here who would say that I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but I have never been acquainted with God the way that you spoke of this morning. I want to tell you, It is truly a very simple thing. As I said earlier, if we are before God and He asks us, why should I let you in my heaven? Our answer truly can be, because I believed in Jesus. And that's the answer this morning. If you would say that I am not acquainted with God as you have spoke of this morning, you can be by placing your faith in Jesus Christ, because He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life, and He died for you. He died for you so that you might know God and become acquainted with Him. Won't you answer His call today? So the question that I want to end with this morning, and it's on your screen. Has what God made known to you in Jesus affected you and the way you live your life? Has what God made known to you in Jesus, because that's very specific, right? It's got to be in Jesus. Has it affected you and the way you live your life? Because I'm telling you, if you have become acquainted with God, those of us who have been acquainted with God, then that truth, it will affect your life. It should have affected your life. You should be living differently. And maybe this morning, if that's you this morning, may your prayer be, God, help me to know you more. I think God honors that prayer. I think he stands up and applauds that prayer, because He says, that's exactly what I want to do in your life. I want to help you know me more. Will that be your prayer this morning? And would you allow that truth in Jesus to affect the way you live once you exit this building? I want to ask you to bow your heads and to close your eyes as we come to this time of response. I want to ask you that question one more time. Has what God made known to you in Jesus affected you and the way you live your life? If you're here this morning and you would say, again, that I haven't become acquainted with God as you have spoken of, but you would like to, you would like to do that this morning, you would like to become acquainted with Him, I'm telling you, it's in Jesus. Won't you place your faith in Him this morning? Won't you just make that move forward and say, yes, I want to know you, God, and I understand that it's through Jesus, it's through me placing my faith in Him. Won't you do that this morning? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I get what you're saying, Jonathan, but I do want to know God more. But maybe there's something in your life that's preventing that. Maybe what you need to do is just go to God and confess. Here is an area of my life that is preventing me from knowing you more. And it's preventing me from allowing my acquaintance with you to affect the way that I'm living my life day to day. God, would you forgive me of that? Father, we are so thankful that you are a God who knows us and you want us to know you. We're thankful that you have revealed yourself through your Son, Jesus. And I pray this morning that if there's anyone in here who does not know you, has never said yes to Jesus, they would make that this morning. They would answer your call in their lives to come and know me. How we love you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you